See, can you see this? It's a little blown out. This is a what's called a design squiggle. And so there's this beginning section, and then there's the middle section, right? And then eventually it smooths out. And so whenever you have an idea for a design, you know, this is the process, supposedly. And this is just something that I drew. We may come back to it, we may not. But remember that as we shift our focus to talking about the subject of change. And thank you, Michael, for being the one to prompt me to explore change. It's definitely something that I need to explore on my own. And whenever I facilitate groups, if I think about it, I ask people to raise their hand if they're experiencing some major transformation or change in their life. And I have yet to see, not see the entire room raise their hand. I mean, basically, change is just always happening. And now more than ever, of course, with COVID, things have changed a lot. And whenever we think of change, we think of a caterpillar. And of course, there's the caterpillar. The name is synonymous with caterpillar's Latin for consumer. And it just goes through its life consuming, you know, lots, probably, I don't know, 5 to 10 times its weight a day per day and leaves. And it's just consuming, consuming. And all of a sudden, it starts to become encased in its own vomit and feces. And then this muckification occurs. It's called deliquescence. And then that caterpillar actually winds up digesting itself in order to transform into a butterfly. And it reminds me of an adage that energy cannot be created, it can only be transformed. So the energy of the butterfly is not created, it's just transformed from something else. And as awful as that sounds, I mean, basically that's what happens when we go through change, is we digest ourselves. And we like to think that it just happens on its own, and that change occurs for the caterpillar turning into a butterfly, just like humans turning into maybe their greatest selves, that it applies here too. And certainly, if we look at the history of humanity, like we look at what happened 100 years ago, you know, I Googled it actually. Do you know that the auto industry was being born 100 years ago? Think about that, like, and where we are now. Women were just starting to vote. Radios were the main source of entertainment. I mean, obviously, we've gone through a tremendous amount of change as a culture, as humanity, over the last 100 years. I mean, we roll our eyes about what happened 100 years ago. We roll our eyes about 10 years ago. And so we think about what's going to happen 100 years from now, like, oh my gosh, we're going to roll our eyes at where we were in 2021. Huge change, always. Eternally, we're all in this huge change. And maybe we're not turning into butterflies, but we sure as hell ain't no caterpillars anymore. So, big picture, great. But here's the giant but: with individual humans, with you, with me, transformation of energy is not guaranteed. Even if you live a really, really long time, does not guarantee that you're going to turn into a butterfly. Does not guarantee that you're going to become more and more wise, more and more beautiful, more and more peaceful, or any of that. So, this is the reason why I really wanted to have this be our subject right now, especially because it's springtime. There's a lot of change happening in nature. I want to help us have the best chance we have for change by exploring the anatomy of change, and among some other things that we're going to explore. Now, the anatomy of change has three parts. You know, I talked about the design squiggle, so it's the change squiggle as well. So the three phases are the beginning, the middle, and the end. The first phase, the beginning, oddly, actually starts with an ending. Like something has to die first. And the death of something is what marks the beginning of something. So there are two different endings that I've seen happen that lead to a new beginning. And they are the internal shift that happens or the external shift. And if you've worked with me for a while, you know that I talk a lot in terms of internal and external. Let's go over the internal shift first. And change comes when you have an internal shift from within. And this is the easier of the two ways to navigate change. This is when you're no longer okay with the status quo. It's like you hate your job, your relationship's no good anymore. You just have a desire to change. And I can think of a lot of times in my life, and maybe you can start thinking about your own life, because in just a little bit, we're going to separate you into groups and you're going to talk about this. But I've had a lot of internal changes that have happened during my ski career, like the beginning of my ski career, for example. I skied in jeans. I was meek. I was kind of shy, believe it or not. And then what happens is, whether knowingly or unknowingly, unknowingly for me at the time, I was very young, I introduced a catalyst or a trigger for change. And basically, I became a world-class skier in one run. And the catalyst, the trigger was I decided that I was going to show off for a cute boy and for the cameras. And so I went from a meek, shy person, and I just did not like that. I did not want to be that person anymore, and just turned into this very effervescent show off. And that launched the start of my new ski career that, of course, was a major change in my life. At the end of my ski career, that was also a major change. I didn't want to ski like a professional anymore. I still wanted to ski, but I definitely didn't want to be a pro. And so me being a professional skier, identifying myself as a skier, and that's who I am, that needed to die. And so how I initiated that change is I wrote a letter to all my sponsors, to all the magazines that I wrote for the TV show, and I just quit everything. And I even stopped introducing myself as a skier. I stopped mentioning it. And then a third transformation in my ski career, and also just in my life, my business life in general, was when I went from being this Red Bull sponsored hedonistic, like egomaniac, you know, I was embarrassed about that. I found it gross. I didn't want to be that anymore. That died. And then I made the change into being a Zen facilitator, known for her listening skills, of being service to the world, that kind of thing. The catalyst for that was finding and studying Zen. So those are some big transformations that I've gone through in my life that were internal. And when you have internal change that wants to happen, there's a lot of purpose involved. There's new direction, there's spiritual connection. This could happen for you if you move somewhere new, if you retire, if you start a new business, if you get a pet. Like, these are all sorts of purpose-driven internal changes where you start in a new direction. Little stuff, big stuff. For some of you, it's even creating a legacy, having kids, starting a new business, writing a book, that sort of thing. Now, that is going to be, I mean, these are a lot easier if it's an internal change. But even if it's an internal change, it's still going to be hard. But it becomes especially hard when it's an external change, which is what we're going to talk about next. It's when you don't like it. Yes, it involves the death of something. Always change involves the death of something. But this time it is because of a loss or maybe a failure or ending something that is very, very hard. And when it's an external change, we like it even less. Now, to illustrate the difference, you guys know my analogy of the bird in the cage. So imagine if that bird left out on the porch with the door swinging open decides to make a change and flies off and decides to be free. That's one change. But imagine if his owner kicked him out of the cage and said, "You're not welcome back," and closed the cage door and went back inside and refused to be the bird's owner anymore. Like, that would be a lot more devastating. That would be something that was kind of happened to the bird. So an external change or an external shift is something that happens to you, or it happens through you, or it happens by you. And a time that I can think of this in my ski career is when, I mean, this happened so many times, when I went from being a world-class skier to being a cripple in just an instant. You know, my knee injuries, broken heel, things like that. And you guys know that I talk about my own personal life, even though Kirk's on the call. But another external change or shift was a year ago. I was happily married, looking forward to the pandemic, spending time with a loved one, taking care of each other. And then in an instant, all of a sudden, I'm alone and having to take only care of myself. So with an external shift, you don't introduce a catalyst to change. It's introduced to you. And when this happens, we tend to really reject change. It's like we're super confused by it. We're unsure of what to do. I know that I have experienced this more than once. Maybe you can relate as well. And I mean, this could be little stuff. Like I remember when the ski industry transitioned to everybody started wearing helmets. You know, this seems like a small change, but it's like, what the hell? I have to wear a helmet? I don't feel very free wearing a helmet. It feels very confined. It feels like being in a cage. I remember another time, computers, when they are introduced, it's like, ugh, you know, if I didn't learn computers, I was going to lose my edge. It's like I was going to feel really incompetent and not keep up with the world and what's going on for people in business. Certainly in relationships, right? If a change is imposed on you, you're dumped or something, you know, get out, I don't want you anymore, right? That is going to really be hard to navigate. Like, oh my gosh, dating again? Like there's just such a huge amount of time that has to happen before you feel good again. So here's the two things to remember when that shift happens this is either internal or especially external. First of all, you won't change unless you have to. And the second thing is don't expect change to happen without you making an effort. You are not a caterpillar that's just destined to turn into a butterfly. You have to actually make an effort to turn yourself into a butterfly. And the reason why is because of the upside down cup, the mud and dirt in a cup, the, you know, in one ear and out the other, hole in the bottom of the cup. It's like we have these resistance patterns and we have these habitual patterns that prevent us from transforming into what we are supposed to be next. Like a caterpillar has no choice, but you actually do. And, you know, if given the choice to digest yourself, right, you're probably not going to want to do it. And what you want to do is you want to protect the status quo. And you get into, I don't want this, you know, and then next thing you know, we're talking about my favorite subject, which is resistance. Like resistance to the end of a marriage, resistance to the end of a career. I ran into Angel Collinson the other day, who's now considered the best woman big mountain extreme skier in the world. I don't know if she still is, but she was at least last year. And she's like, oh my gosh, I'm so desperate to not be a professional skier anymore. And I'm like, well, you know, are you going to stop? She's like, well, you know, I don't know. You know, she's just in resistance to it. Like it's so hard, right? We won't change unless we have to. It's like, she's put so much effort into becoming so incredibly competent at skiing. How do you walk away from that? And I'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. It's like, you have to either rip the Band-Aid off, make an effort. The end of youth, like think about that. The end of just being a maiden if you're a woman, or the end of being like a stud if you're a guy, and all of a sudden you become invisible because you're getting older. It's like, it's the death of a lot of things. It's very, very scary, these deaths. And yet we also know that death is so, so necessary. It's the secret to success, actually, like in business. You know, I talked about computers, right? I'm not into computers, but I had to do something. I had to change. I had to learn. I had to grow, because if I didn't, it was going to be a real problem for me in my life. And we know this, but yet we still resist the change, which is why we need a little help, right? And that's why we're talking about this today, because I want to help you learn how to move through the steps in order to get to new beginnings. First of all, the step recognizing that something has to end before you can get to the middle. Before you can get to an end again, so you could begin again, and round we go. It really is a cycle, but I want to help you get in flow with this process. So let's talk about the middle now. So if you remember from my scribble pattern, right, we start, and I would say the middle happens pretty quickly, right after the end of something. We start by fighting it. We get into denial. We're in some sort of crazy emotional bath with just swirling around. And then maybe we can get to acceptance if we're lucky. So I'm calling this the messy middle for a reason, because it's incredibly messy and and it's like gooey. It's like being in the soup. It's like you're super unsure, or being in the Bardo. I don't know if Jaquetta is on the phone call. She has her cat named Bardo. I mean, it's overwhelming. There's just this abyss. And so imagine if you're swinging on a trapeze and you're swinging along and you're pretty good at it and you got a good grip, and all of a sudden, boom, you're not on the trapeze anymore. And you're like, your old job is over, or the relationship's over, or something's happened. You've gotten fired, or who knows what. And but you're not yet on the new trapeze. You haven't replaced it yet. So the Bardo is this kind of not that anymore, but not yet what you're going to become. And it can feel very overwhelming. It's like you're in free fall, or there's like this huge abyss all around you. And what you immediately want to do, kind of like Angel did, like a lot of people do, is you want to go back to the old trapeze. It's like you want to go back to something that you were competent at. It's like you're stuck in your own competence. Like, she's such a brilliant skier. She's gotten really good, really famous at getting attention, all of that. It's like it's hard to give that up. And so she goes back to it again and again. And so your own competence at doing something that you were probably pretty great at, flying on that trapeze bar, it becomes your obstacle actually to overcome. Like, for example, if you're, say, an accountant and you want to become an artist, but you're great at being an accountant and you make good money being an accountant, right? You could take the leap of faith, but it's really scary. And so what you do is you just kind of keep going back to being an accountant again and again for years until you just can't stand it anymore. Or, I mean, that's like an internal shift, but let's say it's an external shift. Let's say you're a super healthy vegan, you're an exercise junkie, and then all of a sudden you find out that you have cancer. You know, that it's like you want to go back to the vegan, you want to go back to the exercise, and it's like you're so good at that, but oh my gosh, you have to now actually go and do something incredibly harmful to your body by getting chemotherapy and all that. It's like it goes against everything that you stand for. It's, you know, that's the new trapeze swing that you need to get on. So in my own life, the trapeze bar that I was swinging on just recently is, I thought I was a great wife, and I'm swinging merrily, you know, along, and then all of a sudden the trapeze is taken away, and all, I have no trapeze to replace it with, and I want to go back to it, but I can't. And so you're left feeling lost if you have no trapeze to even go back to when you have an external transition. And so at some point, you know, or even all the time, internal or external, you're going to feel like your future's uncertain. You're going to have challenges with your confidence. You're going to have moments where you don't have a lot of motivation. You just want to return to what you know. And I mean, like I said, Jesus Christ, who wants to digest ourselves and transform? This is why I call it the messy middle. And it's not my term. I mean, it's everybody's term. We've heard this before, right? The messy middle, just, oh my gosh, it's so hard. And then the third phase is the end. And as I keep outlining these, you know, I'm going to separate you guys in groups of two in just a little bit. You're going to talk about where you are in this process with a particular change that you have going on in your life. So keep listening. There's the beginning, internal or external. There's the middle, the messy middle. And then there's the end. And with the end, maybe like with an external change, maybe the best we can hope for is acceptance, moving on, or grabbing a new trapeze bar, because really there is no other choice. But is that the best we can do? Maybe. Or what happens is, with time, you get a glimmer of hope. And then signs show up. Maybe a new bar swings in your direction, or maybe a few bars swing in your direction. And you still have skills, you have mastery. I mean, you swung on a trapeze before, right? You did okay. And you start to feel curious. And if you work with me, or if you're a risk taker, maybe you're willing to feel fear. You know, you're willing to kind of reach out and maybe grab that new trapeze bar, take a couple swings. You know, you maybe, if you don't want to feel fear, maybe you at least feel a glimmer of a growth mindset. And then we talked about last week, core values. You also have your core values to draw from. Does your core value, like 1, 2, and 3, especially your 1, you know, first of all, promote you moving on to a new trapeze? And then it also helps you pick the right trapeze when it shows up. It's like, I'm not going to grab onto that one. I'm not going to grab onto that one because it doesn't match my core values. But, oh, look at this one, right? Okay, I'm willing to take a risk. I have a bit of a growth mindset. I'm feeling a little bit of hope for a better future. And you stretch yourself. And you kind of, you don't grab on, but you're like, yeah, you give it a short whirl. This is called a small step, right? And you just test the waters. Like, is there potential? You swing out, maybe. Is it untested? Yes. You don't know. But it's just a micro commitment to trying something new. The new beginning is you take a few swings. It feels exciting, maybe, but scary. It feels fragile. And unquestionably, it can be hard. It can be complicated. Whenever it's new, that's just how it's always going to go. New career, new relationship. There's going to be ups and downs and back and forth. You're going to swing. And it kind of reminds me of a work term. Same seed, different soil. So not to switch up analogies on you, but I think it's interesting. It's like it's still you, sort of, but you're in different soil now. It's still you, but you're swinging on a different swing now. And you may fly to greater heights. You may plant it anew, grow richer, more beautiful than before, or you may not. But the only way to sort that out, especially if the soil that you've been planted in is no longer available to you, is to give it a go. So that's just my talk. And now I want to make it about you guys. And I want you, we're going to split you into groups of 2. Kirk, is this okay? Is it going to work?
Groups of 2, I don't know. We'll try to figure that out.
Okay. If we could do groups of 2, we'll do it. And yeah, we'll take, I don't know, about 8 minutes to just talk about what the major change is that you're going through and where you are in the process. And if we can't sort it out, then we can just speak as a group. And before, while Kirk's trying to figure this out, let me just give you a little bit of, a guidance to, if you can't figure out what major change you're going through, know that there's a lot. You know, transitions can be physical, you know, the aging process. And notice which one are you, which is the one that you're going to be talking about. I mean, maybe you're going to talk about more than one, but hormones, you know, women going through menopause, sexuality, you know, maybe you were a stallion and now all of a sudden don't have any interest. There's cognitive health. My mom just is diagnosed with dementia, you know, or maybe an illness, cancer. We talked about that. So there's physical transitions. And then there's personal transitions, maybe an eviction, a divorce, empty nest. Then there's psychological transitions. You know, if you're going through super difficult emotions, if you're lonely, depressed, if you have anxiety, and you may be going through these psychological or emotional transitions because of a physical transition or because of a personal transition. So they could be tied in. Same with professional transition. Maybe you were fired or you were forced to retire. Maybe you're starting a new business, not out of a liminal mindset, but out of necessity. There's also the transition coming from the pandemic, you know, of passing things. Like maybe you had a fear of death or uncertainty about whether this is going to kill you or not. You've maybe lost something, maybe a business that you put your heart and soul into that was lost because of the pandemic. And then there's the transition, built of purpose, of course, which the kind of more internal transitions, the spiritual connection, the new direction. So just looking at all of these possible transition kind of, I don't know, it's like there's so many transitions to choose from, right? How do you pick one? But just pick one or two and identify what the major change is that you're going through and where are you in the process? Are you in the beginning? And is it internal or external? Are you in the messy middle? And are you at the end? And of course, the end is just not really an end at all, but just trying something new, just maybe even meekly, maybe just slightly, or possibly diving into the deep end. I don't know. Kurt, can we split up into groups, or are we going to do it as one big family?
No, we can split them up into groups of two.
All right, let's do that.
How long? How long do they have in the group?
8 minutes, so 4 minutes each person.
Okay.
So make sure you monitor the time so that one person doesn't talk for too much. Beginning, middle, and end. What is the major change you're going through, and where are you in the process? Doesn't look like Brooke was paired with anyone. She can be paired with either me or you.
She's not responded to the request. She may be on mute. So Liz,
okay.
Maybe I can add you. Why don't you, can you see it? Do you see room three? Just hit join.
I'm afraid to, room three. Join. Yeah, I can join.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, we are back. Who wants to tell me what you explored? Anybody have anything they want to share?
I'll share, but I was going to warn you, I'm a toddler, and he just let you know. this is Amy in San Diego. I explored kind of the phase of life that I'm in. I'm 42, and it feels like just a messy middle of life. Like I, in some ways, I've grown beyond my younger years of participating in self-help type courses and things to try to fix myself. But I've also recognized that it's a daily ongoing conversation with an inward relationship with change that is, you know, potentially always going to feel kind of messy. I shared with my partner that I still sometimes have this fantasy, but it used to be much stronger that someday I would be fixed. I would be better. I'd be all done with the personal growth work. And I, you know, and my programming would go away, and all my conditioned, you know, triggers and things like that would be healed or fixed. And so just acknowledging the kind of vulnerable reality of it may always feel messy inside this, you know, this skin suit as I attempt to gracefully walk this path of being an embodied soul, playing the human game. And there are a lot of different nuances to that, you know, being a parent, being an entrepreneur. This time of COVID, I think, is a time of collective awakening. And so yeah, I think the invitation for me now is to just continue to deepen into a powerful relationship with my body as both my inner and outer worlds transform, so that I can meet it with love and willingness to change, rather than like resistance or fear of change. Because I can, it definitely feels like a powerful time of unfolding, blossoming, and becoming. Not just for me, but for humanity. That's my experience. So, I was just sharing with the sister about sometimes we have to go through the dark night of the soul in order to, you know, to grow. And that's, I guess, kind of what I'm acknowledging and experiencing. Not particularly a dark night of the soul, but there's some confusion and fear bubbling up about what's next and what's possible. And am I really, you know, living my life in a meaningful and powerful way. Can you not do that, please? All right, that's my time limit for uninterrupted sharing.
Okay. Oh, thank you, Amy. That it's so interesting. There's like micro changes that just happen all the time. I am just recovering from COVID, and the micro change was like, huh, I feel sick. You know, you think that it's a macro change, but it wasn't, it was a micro change. It's like it happens in increments. And then there's the macro change, and then there's the colossal change. And so we're always in the process of change. I mean, it's funny that, you know, even what you eat for lunch changes you, right? So in many ways, what we were talking about during the breakout groups is a major change. What is the major change you're going through? But then just even looking at the micro changes or the, you know, the macro and then the colossal changes, there's just, it's, that's all there is there. That's all there is. It's like the weather, constantly evolving, constantly changing. The impermanence of life is something that the Buddha talks about. Anybody else have anything they want to share, an aha moment?
Yeah, hi, this is Brooke from San Francisco. So yeah, Kristen, I was in a breakout room with Kristen and, you know, thinking about that trapezes or the plant, am I in the right soil? Am I blossoming? And I just really love that. And it really stuck with me, you know, something to just think about and feel into. And if I'm not, what does that mean? Or what small thing could I change? Because I'm definitely committed to the trapeze I'm on. But then, you know, how do I make sure I have what I need to blossom there?
Of course, I mix analogies and they don't always work together. But yes, Brooke and I talked about, you know, is she in the right soil? Is she planted in the right soil? And I want everybody to just, because I put so much emphasis on the trapeze analogy, really dive into the soil analogy, like the soil that you're planted in right now. Is it helping you grow? Is it, I mean, it's spring, you know, look outside, like nature is just blooming all over the place. You know, are you blooming right now in springtime? And sometimes people get depressed in springtime because everything's blooming, but they realize they're not, they're stagnating. And I don't know if you know that. I was actually really surprised to learn that springtime is the season of depression. It's when people feel the worst. You'd think that it would be winter or fall or something, but it's not. It's springtime because you become so aware of the juxtaposition of what's happening in nature versus your stagnancy and the fact that you're not planted in a good place. And I just, even looking at my own life, you know, I'm with COVID, I've been just spending a lot of time just on my own, even not my COVID, but just COVID for the last year and the situation that I'm in, my major, major transition. I realized that where I'm planted isn't really helping me grow right now. And so maybe it's time to make a change, which of course doesn't happen on its own, which is the whole theme of our talk today. You have to actually, you know, we're not caterpillars turning into butterflies. We actually have to take steps to turn into butterflies. So I'm just getting what I came for in this talk, and maybe you are as well, in looking at the analogy of where you're planted right now. You know, is it time to uproot yourself and go find new soil? So in the time that we have left, I have a couple things that I wanted to do. I wanted to guide you guys on an exercise. We'll start with one and maybe we'll get to both. Does anybody else have anything they're dying to say though before we get started? Okay. I'm not going to facilitate you guys in voice dialogue, but I am going to lead you on what I call a rapid fire of different forms of energy or different kind of views of the world or lenses. And so I just want to have you have, I don't know, 10 seconds, maybe 15 seconds in each reality. And some of them I'll just let you sit in silence and just feel what it feels like. And others, I'll give you prompts to maybe contemplate it a little bit deeper, the essence of what each voice is. Or, you know, what we're doing is like in a radio, when you turn the dial really slowly, you hear different stations. Like, I want you to just land in the station that I asked to speak to and then just stay there for a moment and just listen and feel. Be an embodied version of these states. So don't try to understand them, just be them and feel what they feel like. And notice if they're familiar to you or not. These are many different ways of relating to change that we're about to experience. And I want you to be on alert to try and figure out which is the station that you usually listen to, because it could be a way to identify a stuck place for you regarding change. So I want you to shift into just a state of fearing change. So just do a gentle shift, shake your shoulders a little bit, or shift from your left butt cheek to your right butt cheek, and just become afraid of change and notice what that feels like. Notice if you're familiar. And notice the quality of you compared to this next one, and if there's a difference. Now shift into the one who's resisting change. I don't want it. No, no, no. So before there was fear of change, now I want you to shift into fear of not changing. Like fear if you stay the same. There's fear of change, but there's fear of also not changing. Notice what's at stake if you don't change. What's your life going to be like if you don't change? And this could be around a change that you're going through or just change in general. What's your future if you don't change? Where do you stay stuck? Who do you stay being if you don't change? Now try the energy on of these next two very different feelings. You're the one who has to change. I have to change. I have to. I say all the time, people don't change unless they have to. What part of you has to change? What part of you has to die in order to make this change? Now shift into the being the one who wants to change. Very different energy versus has to. You want to. Pay attention to your yeses and your nos. Like that soil, yes. That soil, no. That trapeze, yeah, maybe. You know, that trapeze, definitely not. You're paying attention to what change it is that wants to happen. Like, what are you going to dive into? And now I want you to notice what kind of catalysts you would forge, ignite for change. Is it a phone call? Is it a new hobby? Is it a new business? Moving, taking steps, meditating, heck, even going for a walk if you want a micro change. And now shift into the energy of someone who boldly tries something new, completely new. Not like something that you already know that you're good at, but something that you've never tried before. And now shift into a space of embracing change. Now shift into intimacy with that change. How often have you gotten to this point? It's probably rare. And now notice the things that didn't work out. Or let's just say it didn't work out. There's a new death. Oh. And now notice what it feels like it did work out. A new birth, a new beginning. All right, so bringing it back home, anybody want to talk about that experience and what that was like for them, for you?
Yes.
Liz, go ahead. What was that like for you? What'd you learn about yourself and your relationship with change?
I recognize that I am in the middle of things, and the way I know that is I'm willingly letting go of the old trapezes. There's certain old trapezes I definitely don't want, and it's just, I guess I'm juggling some new ones. Like now we're suspended air, sort of.
Okay. Thank you, Liz. Who else? I know for myself, I'm at the point where I want to change. Actually, I'm at the point where I have to change. Because there's too much at stake if I don't. And I know what my future will be if I don't. So I have to. And I don't know that I'm at want to yet, but I know that I have to. I'm not yet paying attention to my yeses and nos. I'm not yet introducing catalysts for change. I'm mostly experiencing or experimenting with things that have given me pleasure in the past. And so, you know, it's a process. Sometimes it's a long process. And I think for our finale, what we can do is just spend another moment going through our lives and just, sometimes I've done this at the end of ski live camps before they were called the Art of Fear ski camps. They were called ski live. And as like kind of the last big whammy, I would facilitate people for an hour in this, but we're going to go through it very quickly, which is just the journey of your entire life. And you have your age, the age that you are right now. And I mean, we could do this up till your age and just explore how much change has been a part of your life and explore what your relationship with that change has been. But I think we're going to go all the way to the end of your life. And so once you hit your age, just notice what happens next. And you don't have to steer it. You can a little bit. You can just notice, just see what comes up. Maybe you can steer it. What the heck? Because that's kind of what this is about. It's like, you know, what is your relationship with change? Are you going to continue to maintain the same relationship with change past this point in time? Or are you actually going to dance with it and move through it faster, maybe than you have in the past? So I just want you to, even though you don't remember it, go back to when you were born and you've just come out of your mama's belly and there you are, your first experience, your first breath, like light, oh my gosh, sounds. And then now I want you to be 5 years old. What's changed? Oh my gosh, so much. You're a boy now, not a baby, you're a girl now. And now I want you to be 10 years old. Again, notice what's changed. How do you see the world? How is it different from when you were 5? What do you know now? What have you learned? Who are you? You're kind of more formed as a person. Notice the change. that has occurred in the last 5 years. Now you're 15. Oh, geez, you're in high school. You're a teenager. Dear God, like hormones, boys and girls and sexuality and, you know, wanting to fit in. And it's like there's these stages of ego development that maybe you guys have learned from me. Maybe you haven't, but you're firmly in stage three, wanting to be part of a tribe. And then all of a sudden you're 20 years old. And high school is long gone. You can't believe that you cared about the things that you cared about in high school. Notice how much you've changed again. Gone through puberty's over pretty much, or close to. Notice if you have a career, or you're in school. Notice how you're spending your time. Notice if you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Now you're 25 years old. A lot has happened in the last 5 years, huh? Man, you were just a kid still when you were 20, but now you're a man, you're a woman. You know, you are on your way. You're doing cool things. You have a career. You have passions. You have a peer group that is probably different from your peer group from high school. You're maybe living somewhere else. You're certainly long since left the nest. Parents don't live with them anymore. Maybe you do. I don't know. But if you do, nature of your relationship with your parents has changed dramatically. Now you're 30. And wow, you can't believe that you're 30 years old. Like, what the heck? You know, the 20s went by so fast. And now you're kind of feeling like, wow, hopefully you have your act together. And if you don't, you better get your act together quickly because you're 30, right? Notice how much you've changed. Notice how different you are and all the things that you know now compared to when you were 20. Now you're 35. And even more so, it's like, man, kids, boy, have you had kids? Are you going to have kids? You better hurry up, right? Like, clock's a ticking. Now you're 40. And boy, that's like almost halfway. If you live to age 80, like you do the math, you know, you're kind of getting up there. You can't believe you're 40. You have wrinkles, right? Your parts of you are fading away. You're no longer youthful, but you kind of still are. Right? You have parts that are getting better. Now you're 45 and you're transitioning. You're still the old side of young. You know, you still feel like you're 18 sometimes, but now you're 50 and now you're the young side of old. And boy, you can't believe that you just had your 50th birthday. Like, how crazy is that? I mean, it just was just a second ago that you were 10 years old. And what have you done with your career? Are you married? Do you have kids? Like, are your kids, what age are your kids? Do you still feel young, or are you starting to feel kind of old? You have aches and pains. Now you're 55. And boy, are those aches and pains from 5 years ago, are they getting worse? What kind of lifestyle do you have? Are you making shifts and changes to accommodate your aging body? Have you done a great midlife edit, you know, and gotten rid of friends that, you know, you can't understand why you were ever friends with them because they seem stuck? Or maybe you've had a midlife crisis and made some major changes in your life. Now you're 60. Okay, midlife crises are probably about over. but can you believe you're 60? That's crazy. You still feel 18 sometimes. You look in the mirror and you're like, gray hair, what the heck is that? Now you're 65. And wow, you're 5 years away from 70. Like, you're very aware that the clock is ticking and that your choices that you make are very important. It's like you don't have a lot of time left. And, you know, you're still probably working, or maybe you're thinking of retiring. It's like, wow, my identity is so much tied into what I do for a living. Now you're 70. And, ooh, 70. That's kind of a milestone. You are definitely an old person now. But, man, you don't feel it. You don't, definitely don't feel it unless you look in the mirror. Or maybe you do, because your body hurts a lot because of all those years you spent skiing. Now you're 75, and that's when you're definitely considered old in society. Like, you may still have a spring in your step, but you might not. People die of old age at 75. You know, how are you feeling? How have you navigated your life? What has changed? What parts have faded away? What parts are getting better? You know, how's your mind? How's your body? Are you happy with your life? I mean, boy, are you the same person that you were? Same seed, but different soil of when you were 10? Now you're 80. If you're lucky, how's your mind now? Are you still skiing? Are you still riding your bike? Are you still doing the things that you used to love to do? Now you're 85. Again, if you're lucky. What has life been like? Look back on the last 85 years from when you were first born and took your first breath. Heard your first sounds and all that you've been through, the change. And then look at the external world, like look at how much the world has changed. My gosh. You can't believe, I mean, like things happen so fast, you can't keep up with it. Maybe you've stopped trying. Maybe you have different priorities now. Look at the priorities that you have now based on the priorities that you had when you were 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, even 80. And now you're 90. I want you to look back at the self on May 11th, 2021, and just notice where they were at that time in their lives. And I want you to chuckle a little bit. They were going through a transformation, a change at that time. How do I know this? Because they always have been going through a change. Look at the change that they're going through. What advice do you have to give them? What advice do you have to give them regarding change? Were you the type of person who resisted change? Or were you the type of person who embraced change? How long did you try to cling to the same old before you grudgingly grabbed on to a new trapeze? How long did you stay planted in shitty soil before you're like, all right, I'm going to go transplant myself somewhere else. See how that goes. Did it work out? Did it not work out? I don't know. Change. There's only change. It's all we got. Our minds change so fast. Our bodies change slightly less fast, but oh my gosh, in a short span of 90 years, look what happens to the body. And the advice that you can give to the self back on May 11th, 2021, just ask them, what's one action that you can take today to embrace inevitable change? And with that, I put my hands together. I bow to you. Thank you for engaging in consciousness practice with me today. Good luck navigating your own changes as I navigate mine.